Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter number 5, and we have been dealing with the doctrine of angels here in Sunday morning. We are in our third lesson, and if you would, we are part two of the title here that we've been dealing with on your adversary, the devil. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says this: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, this is a very personal verse. It says, your adversary, the devil. A lot of times we like to think about, well, you know, he's the adversary of everybody. But no, he is your adversary. It's a personal thing against you as a believer. He has a desire to destroy us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, we have been saved from that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, about our adversary the devil. Now, a quick review from last week. We dealt with the origin of Satan. Where did Satan come from? We saw his creation. He was created with wisdom and beauty. We see his worship. He was created to lead in the angelic worship of the Almighty God. We see his worth. He was created as the prized cherub. He was perhaps the one in charge of all the other angels in the structure that God set up in the angelic host. We also saw Satan's choice. He fell because he said, "I will be lifted up above God." Pride is what brought about his fall. Then we saw Satan's character. We saw that he is crafty. We saw his capability, right? He is able. He is a powerful being. And we saw his con. He comes as an angel of light. He doesn't come with the horns and the pitchfork and says, "I'm going to kill you." He comes as an angel of light, appearing to say, "Hey, I'm here for your benefit." Then we dealt with not only the origin of Satan, but the objective of Satan. What's his objective? We see, first of all, we looked at his oppression of the world. His oppression of the world was twofold. There is a physical oppression. We see that through suffering, death, and possession. And we saw also the spiritual oppression of the world. We see he ensnares, he influences, he blinds, and he dissipates truth. That's what he does. We also saw not only his oppression of the world, but his oppression of the saints. He is personally after you. He is. We see that his opposition to the church, he likes to bring in mixture in the church, mix the saved with the unsaved. We saw his ministers. He has ministers. You know the devil has preachers today? He does. And some of them use the Bible, but they corrupt it. We also saw his opposition to the consecrated. We saw some examples with the Apostle Paul, where Paul recognized that the devil was after him. He was buffeted from an angel of Satan. We also saw his opposition to a Christian, every believer. He is after every believer. And we're going to continue this morning, and this is part two, if you would, in your notes there, of this doctrine there of angels and your adversary, the devil. Now, notice here, we're on Roman numeral 3. Now, in your notes, it's Roman numeral 1, but it's part 2, so Roman numeral 3. I think we understand that. All right. Part 2. Notice, first of all, we see the orders of Satan. Satan is not doing what he's doing alone. Now, according to what we know to be true, he took about one-third of the angels. Now, think about it. There is the host of angels is innumerable, as we find the Word of God is a great host. But he has some angels that have followed him, those that follow Satan that stand against God. And we're going to look at those this morning. You know, we find the word devils used in the Bible. We could also refer to these devils as demons. Some people say demons, devils. It's really the same thing. The Greek word, both Greek words are found in the Bible. There was the word diabolos, which is for devils, and the word daimon, which is for demon. And so the word demon itself is not found in our Bible, but if people say demon, demon is an angel, okay? It's not like angels are spirits, okay, but they're beings and they have intellect. We'll see that in just a moment. But whether you call them devils or demons, it's all the same. They're angels that are doing the tasks, if you would, of Satan himself. Now notice under the orders of Satan, we see letter A, first of all, their description. Now, what are those devils or those demons like? The Bible describes them for us. Now, Matthew chapter 12, let's go there. Matthew chapter 12, we see a description there of devils, and we learn a little bit about them. First of all, in your notes there, under their description, we see, first of all, their existence. They are real. I read you a quote last time of one of the Jesuit priests who said that kind of, the devil is something that we've made up in our minds that basically is evil. It's just kind of the evil thoughts in our mind. That's the devil. No, the devil is a person. It's not just bad thoughts. He is a person. Now, notice here his existence. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 27, the people that were complaining about the Lord Jesus Christ and his miracles said this, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils," Jesus responds to them by saying, well, he's casting out devils by the prince of devils. He says, "If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Now we see, first of all, here in the, under their existence, Jesus Christ acknowledged their existence. I mean, he called them devils. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And when he was come to the other side into a country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They're real. You see, they spoke to the Son of God. "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." He's speaking to them. He acknowledged their existence. In Mark 16:17, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." After the Great Commission that was given to the apostles, he said, this is something that's going to be done just to prove they will cast out devils. Jesus acknowledged their existence. The apostle Paul acknowledged their existence. In Acts chapter 16, we can turn there. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 16. Acts number chapter 16, verse 16. Down to verse 18, the Bible says here, "And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her, and he came out the same hour." So we see again the Apostle Paul acknowledge, and he rebuked this spirit. Now again, the spirit, angels are spirit beings. That was an angel. That was a demon or a devil possession. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, Paul talks about devils again. He says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils." They're real beings. Their existence, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You see, the Jesus Christ acknowledged their existence. The Apostle Paul acknowledged their existence. We could also add James. In James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, and they tremble." You see, they are alive and well today. Now, we're going to see by the end here, rejoice, and we'll see that at the end. But they are real. We have to acknowledge that. We have to recognize that there is a spirit world who is under the command of Satan in this world. He is the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and it is manifested through devils. And we're going to see, not only their existence, but we see their essence. Now, what are they described like in the Word of God? Well, first of all, notice in your notes, not only we see their existence, number two, we see their essence. Notice we see them possessing personal intelligence. We see them possessing personal intelligence. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, We already read the verse here, but I'll read it again. In verse 29 it says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away in the herd of swine." That tells us something about those devils. They possess personal intelligence. There's a conversation going on. You have to have intelligence to have a conversation going on. Now, they were possessing this man, but they were speaking directly. You see, the man was silent, but the devils were speaking through him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we also see here them possessing personal intelligence. The Bible says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You see, they acknowledged time and time again when they saw the Lord that in this particular issue, they said, "Leave us alone." Now, us, there was multiple there devils possessing this particular man. In Luke chapter 4, verse 35, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him." You see, devils possess personal intelligence. Number two, not only do they possess personal intelligence, but number two, we see them, notice, presented as spirit beings. Now, we've already learned that, so I won't dwell. But angels are spirit beings. They are not material like we are. They are a spirit being. Now, we saw that they can manifest themselves and take on the appearance of a man, but they are not like man. Now, we see not only the characteristics, if you would, and actions reveal intelligence, but we also see them presented as spirit beings. Just a quick verse here, we've already touched on that, but Luke 9:38, "And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child, and lo, a spirit taketh him." A lot of times you'll see them talk about devils, but many times you'll see those referred to as spirits. It's the same thing. Angels are spirit beings. It is a spirit. By the way, demon possession is still alive and well today. It is. I believe in our country there is no doubt probably devil possession, spirit possession, demon possession, but it is not to the extent that you'll find it in other countries. You go in countries where a lot of those vigils, especially in Africa and other countries where you go to villages and they have witch doctors, demon possession is alive and well. And you can hear missionary testimonies all the time of things that they've seen, things that was done in those countries. Why? Because of the oppression. I believe that there's not as much of that in our country because of the heritage that we have, because of the Word of God that's around. I believe that makes a difference. But you go into other countries, you feel the oppression. Have you ever been in a place and you felt something not right there? One time I walked into a church, a Catholic church, and I talked to the priest. Well, actually, I didn't talk to the priest. We just said hello, went by the hallway. I felt very uncomfortable. I felt oppressed. I really did. Didn't feel possessed. I think this is something not right. I was with a friend. We were at college. It was actually a Catholic chapel on the UT campus of the University of Tennessee. And we went there. And I was like, I told whoever was, well, I can't remember who it was. It was my partner. We were witnessing on the campus. And I thought, we got to get out of here. You see, oppression, spirit is real. The spirit world is real. And we have to be aware of that and to understand that the demonic world is at work and is working to oppress men. So we see not only here, notice they possess personal intelligence, they are presented as spirit beings, but we also see not only their existence, their essence, but we see, number three, their extent. Now, how many of there are there? Well, Mark chapter 5, verse 9 tells us this. "And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying," now this is the devil that was inside of him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, it is interesting that when you find demon possession, one particular case we just read, as the one response to Jesus, he says, "Leave us alone." Meaning there were multiple ones, not just one. Now, the word legion, Jameson Fawcett Brown, in his commentary of the whole Bible, wrote, a legion in the Roman army amounted at its full complement to 6,000. But here, the word is used as such words with us, and even this one, for an indefinitely large number. Large enough, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. Think about it. Nobody was able to pass by that way because of one man, possessed with a legion of angels. He goes on to say, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen of the possessed of devils. Wait a minute. My finger here swiped Yeah, he says, large enough, notice, however, to rush as soon as permission was given into 2,000 swine and destroy them. Now think about it. The angels that were possessing that one man were enough to possess 2,000 swine. And then they went on and jumped over the ravine. That's how many devils, if you would, spirit beings were possessing that man. There's a lot of them. Now, there's not an exact number, but there's a lot of them out there doing the work of Satan. We have to be aware of that. That is a real thing. So we not only see, notice letter A, their description, but letter B, we see their deeds. So what do they do? Well, much of what they do is just like what the devil does. What we find the devil doing is exactly what we find the devil's doing, his servants, if you would. Notice, first of all, we see the evidence of their deeds. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, I already read the verse, I'll read it again. He says, and when he was come to the other side unto the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Notice again the word plural, devils. Each one of them was possessed with devils, multiple devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Think about it. The Bible uses the word exceeding fierce. In Luke chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devils and cried out with a loud voice. Luke chapter 9, verse 39, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. Think about here, their evidence of their deed was manifested not just in the fact that they were possessed, but they inflicted harm on those that they possessed. From the foaming at the mouth to one of them, we see as he comes out, he throws him to the ground. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. You see, the evidence of demon possession is manifested on the outward. It is an inward possession, but is evident on the outside. In other words, someone cannot be demon-possessed and you not know it as a believer. Why? Because it's manifested on the outside. It brings harm. It vexes. It grieves. It produces form. It bruises. All the words, it's exceeding fierce. That illustrates for us what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to destroy people's lives. He's trying to ruin people's lives. And so we see not only the evidence of their deed, but we see the employment of devils. Now, under their employment, we see, first of all, they possess bodies. This is demon possession or devil possession. In Mark chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Notice he said, come out of the man. That means he was in the man. I know that's very deep here, but the Bible talks about possession in Matthew 4, 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now, again, there is today, there are mental issues today, but there's also demon possessions. And you cannot fix demon possession with medicine. It doesn't work. And it is real today, and to be honest with you, the government can't discern that. They can't. The spirit world is real. There is a bodily possession of people that's alive and well today. The Bible says in Matthew 8:16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Many people were possessed with devils. This is the center of religion in the world. Israel is. Jesus the Messiah is coming. They have the Word of God. They have the Old Testament. And this place where people, Jews from around the world, were flocking for their feasts and for the Passovers and all those things, that was the center where there was demon possession of many people. The Bible says it doesn't give us numbers. It says many people. Sometimes we see individuals, but sometimes the Bible says that there were all kinds of people that were possessed with devils. It was real. Also, Paul, during this time in Acts chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, from unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. That's in the book of Acts. And so we see here, it was not only during the time of Christ, but even the Apostle Paul, during his time, he saw this large-scale demon possession, if you would. So we see that they possess bodies. Number two, they physically harm. And I touched on that. Let me review a few verses here. Matthew 12:22 says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb." He was blind and dumb. Why? Because of demon possession. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb spake and saw. You say, well, maybe he was just blind and dumb and just the Lord healed. No, it is associated with the possession of devil. In Mark chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, he says, "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." He was inflicting physical harm. In Matthew 9:32, "And they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake." You see, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Why? Because a lot of that was a product of the devil possession. You see, if the devil's going to speak, then we got to mute the man. Luke 9:37, "And it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And as he was yet," in verse 42, "and as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." And so we see not only they possess bodies, but they inflict physical harm. We also see, number three, they produce uncleanness. They produce uncleanness. All the things that you see in the world, the wickedness of the world, the devil's the author of that. And the devil's, his emissaries, are the authors of those things. What would cause a whole nation to say, "We're going to kill babies"? Makes absolutely no sense. What would cause someone to say it's okay to kill a baby 10 days before he's born, but you can't kill him a day after he's born? What's the difference? What causes that reasoning? Because it makes absolutely no sense. There's no value for life there. Now, the reasoning today is, well, it's about choice. Okay, so if I want to kill you, it's okay. It's my choice. That doesn't make sense. There's no reasoning there. What causes a person to think and to reason that way? Uncleanness. The reasoning, and we say, and there are sincere people who stand for things that aren't biblical. I understand that. But may I say, much of those thoughts that are a result of uncleanness and unclean thoughts in people's lives and hearts are the influence of devils in people. You see, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against what? Unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." Remember, the devil has what? He has ministers, he has preachers, he has advocates that are speaking on his behalf, people that are speaking on his behalf today and bringing out his message, a message of what? A message of destruction. Who do you think is rejoicing when all those babies being killed? The devil is. He's just trying to destroy man. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is the spirit? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, those that are not saved. What spirit is working in them? The spirit of devils. Now we saw last week that the devil has the power influence. He put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. He influences the mind and the heart. You see, sometimes I say, well, man is wicked, but there is a strong influence in this world. 2 Peter 2:10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You see, the spirit world is real, it's alive and well, and it stands against God. Now, I don't like to talk about those things, but that's we see in the Word of God, that is the orders of Satan, if you would, the emissaries of Satan, the devils, the spirit beings in this world that are working for Satan. But let's look at this, the overcoming of Satan. Now, to be honest with you, I thought, you know, this is going to be a short lesson today, and I was going to make it short, and I began studying, and I was like, oh wait, we got to cut this off and several parts here. But I want you to notice here the overcoming of Satan. And when I mean the overcoming of Satan, I mean the overcoming of Satan finally. Because we cannot have the victory in our lives personally until we understand what Jesus did to defeat the devil. Notice number one, letter A, we see the coming of Christ. Now, I want us to go to 1 John chapter 3. An important verse is here. The book of 1 John was written to believers to give them confidence in their Christian walk. He says in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The book was intended to give confidence in salvation. You see, if you don't walk after the Lord, you all have no confidence in your salvation. You'll begin to doubt your salvation. Why? Because you're not walking with God. Now notice 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. Notice. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, notice, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? Thou shalt bruise, your head will be bruised, you'll bruise his heel, the seed of the woman, but he will bruise your head. You see, sin began with Satan. Therefore, Satan has to be crushed. His work must be destroyed. Upon the fall of man, Satan thought he had conquered. Plunged the human race into sin against God and man became the enemies of God. That was the work of Satan. But God was not conquered. Why? Because before the foundation of the world, God already took action against the works of Satan. You see, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Why was Christ manifested? Yes, to take away our sins, but to do something spiritual that He might destroy the works of the devil. You see, the coming of Christ is for that purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So we not only see the coming of Christ, but number two, we see the cross of Christ. What was the cross all about? Yes, it was to take away our sin, but there's a whole lot more that took place there on the cross than just to take away our sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, what? The enmity thereby. You see, the enmity that came as a result of man's sin, who the devil was the influencer of, has been slain on the cross. John chapter 12, verse 31, remember Jesus Christ, and we read these verses. He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Think, Jesus is saying, now, the hour is coming, and the prince of this world is going to be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Later in chapter 13 of John, in verse 27, he says, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him," entered into Judas. In Luke chapter 22, verse 47 and through 53, the Bible says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." Now we know what happened there and what took place there. In the verse 52 says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." You see, the hour that Christ was crucified was the hour of darkness. It was the hour where Satan would stand against God, would stand thinking that he's defeated God and he's going to stamp out God. And at the cross, there was a battle waging between Satan and Christ. It was the hour of the power of darkness. You see, the reason why Jesus Christ was manifested was for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus Christ comes now, and right before his crucifixion, he says, "The hour has come. This now is the power of darkness." This is the time where the battle is being waged between God and Satan, who plunged the whole entire human race into sin from the very beginning. So we see not only, notice, the coming of Christ, the cross of Christ, but the conquering of Christ. Therefore, Colossians chapter number 2, verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And notice what he did. Is that was not only what took place there. Yes, all of our sin was nailed to the cross and was done away with, but he says this, "Having spoiled principalities and powers," he made what? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And do you remember in Isaiah chapter 14 where the Bible tells us here, how art thou fallen, Lucifer, son of the morning? But notice in verse 15 he says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall ne'er look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners?" You see what happened on the cross? It was more than the forgiveness of our sins. There was a battle being waged between Christ and Satan. And the Bible says that as he died on the cross, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He displays to the world a stripped, defeated devil, a devil who's died, a devil who's been defeated. And on the cross of Calvary, there was a death blow that was inflicted upon Satan. And now he has no power over man anymore. He has no power to overcome us. He has no power to plunge the human race into hell anymore. Why? Because he's been defeated of the devil. And Isaiah said, "Do you see here the devil? Look at him now. Here's the son of the morning. Here's the one who dared to rise up against God. Here's the one who dares to damn the souls of man. Look at him now. He's defeated. He's stripped of every weapon, of every ability. He's dead." Amen. That's what happened on the cross. So, we do not have to be overcome in our thought life by the devil. We don't have to be controlled in our actions by his dictates. We are no longer prisoners of Satan. We have been reconciled to God. The devil's defeated. He's dead. He has no power over you as a believer. Because as the battle was waged on the cross, Jesus Christ displayed the spirit world, and its sin has been done away with. So therefore, we can have the victory. Now we're going to have to go into, and we'll go there in the next few weeks, about, you know, the temptation of the devil and the battle that wages every day. the influence of the devil, but let's remember that he's defeated. And we have the victory. And, you know, we talk about the conqueror of Satan. It's not anything that we've done. It's not anything that we can do. We have no power over Satan. But Christ surely does. Therefore, when we seek for the conquering of Satan in our personal lives, now that we're saved and the devil has been stripped of all the power that he has to cast us into hell and to have dominion and overcome us and influence our minds and our hearts, now that that's been removed, there's still a battle going on. But we have to start with this, saying he's already defeated. He's overcome. It's done. You see, his power and his ability. That's why Isaiah said, the kingdoms are going to look and say, look at Satan, said, is this the one that did all those things to the world? Is this him? And the world one day is going to stand and say, I can't believe it. I thought he was more powerful than that. But he stands there with nothing. He's stripped naked with nothing. And as believers, if we are ever going to have the victory over the devil, we have to see him just as that. Not because of anything we can do, but because of what Christ has done already as he waged this battle on the cross of Calvary. The overcoming of Satan. We win. It's already won. It's settled. Isn't that great to think? As we consider Dr.